Genesis chapter 25, first 10 verses. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Letushim, and Leumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Henoch, and Abida, and Eldeah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts, and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived, eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, an 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. This far I desire that we read in our first reading with the help of our Lord. And now, before we proceed on, let us kneel down and worship the Lord in our prayer, thanksgiving. O Thou Holy One, Thou All Gracious One, Thou art the Creator of the universe, and there is not the least place in this measureless universe where Thy presence is not. Gracious Lord Almighty God, way beyond the limits of our limited understanding, this universe is spread in all directions, but only Thou. Thou alone art greater, being the Creator of all that we see and the things we don't see. Holy Father, Almighty God, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. We thank Thee, O Lord, that in difficult times Thou art with us. In our joys, Thou art in our midst. And all the time, O Lord, Thy Spirit is dwelling in the hearts of Thy children, making this dreadful valley of the shadow of death to be a fruitful field. That those, O Heavenly Father, whom Thou hast graciously taken into Thy ministry, into Thy service, Thy children in Christ, the children of the New Covenant, the disciples of the New Testament, may work and bring the first fruits as a continual offering to Thy greater holy name. We thank Thee, O Lord God Almighty, that Thou hast made this dreadful battlefield into the battlefield of victory, the place where Thou wilt triumph when Thou cometh again. O Lord God Almighty, how glorious and how great Thou art in all that Thou doest. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank Thee for Thy warnings, for Thy corrections, Thy instructions. We praise Thee, O Lord, for this blessed word of Thine. O Heavenly Father, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness and died, but Thou hast given us this bread of life, this bread from heaven, that we, O Heavenly Father, that we eating of this manna from above may never starve, but always receive new strength, new comfort, new peace. Gracious Lord, we thank Thee for that measureless goodness and loving kindness. that Thou art bestowing upon us. O Lord God Almighty, fill our hearts with gratitude and our souls with the joy of Thy salvation, that our soul may overflow with praises and worship of Thy glorious and holy name. Gracious Lord, make us Thou strong in this faith, faith of our father Abraham, faith of our fathers Isaac and Israel, faith of the holy prophets and of the holy apostles. O Lord God Almighty, may that holy faith in that chief cornerstone, rock of ages cleft for us, may that faith be unshaken, that we may also walking not only the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, who saw the day of Christ and rejoiced in it, but also walking in the steps of Thy faithful prophets and of Thy zealous apostles, that we may also, Lord, blend our tears and our sweat, and if Thou make us worthy, our blood, with the blood that was streaming from the wounds of Thy faithful martyrs, that, O Heavenly Father, by Thy grace we are made worthy to offer that offering, not only continual, but also an offering that burned up in the love of Christ. Glorious and loving Lord, how great Thou art. O, we believe that Thy mighty arm is still just as mighty. We believe, O Heavenly Father, that this word of Thine is just as fresh, just as filled with nutrients for our souls as it was on the day when Thou wast walking upon the face of this earth in the body of our Redeemer, proclaiming the truth from heaven, the light that lighted up the hearts and minds of those that believe. May also today, O Lord, that light of Thy truth illuminate our minds and fill our hearts with that pure and holy Christian love, love that is the way through which the faith is working, that we may turn in this one direction all of our striving, all of our efforts, that in our faith we may be fruitful in good deeds, that, O Heavenly Father, we may be meek and humble, that we may be patient and kind, that we may be faithful and fruitful, O Lord, Lord God Almighty, that the wisdom that in such a simplicity Thou hast proclaimed and given to the mankind, that that wisdom of Thine may fill our hearts and our whole being, that our soul, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that our soul may live in the abundance of Thy grace. Gracious Lord, Thou be the strength to the weak, Thou be comfort to the sad, be Thou, Lord God Almighty, light to those that are seeking Thy salvation yet being in darkness. Gracious Lord, Thou lift up the meek, Thou raise the humble, and Thou, O Heavenly Father, humble the proud ones. Lord God Almighty, Thou knowest the need of every soul. May the healing power of Thy Spirit make us faithful, pure, holy, beloved children of Thy loving Christ. O Heavenly Father, make us Thou Thy faithful witnesses. Grant us Thy holy testimonies. Provide opportunities for testifying. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, enable us to experience that joy and gladness of doing Thy will. Righteous Heavenly Father, grant us that holiness and righteousness of our Savior. And as we look far and wide all over this vast world, that we can see that everything is getting ready for that final fire. That we can see, O Heavenly Father, that all the vanity, all the vain glory, all the riches and all the emptiness of this world is not worthy one moment to be spent on it. One moment of this short and precious time that Thou hast given us to work with the talents and gifts and blessings which Thou hast entrusted to our stewardship. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, make us Thou faithful and make us fruitful. Use us Thou for Thy name's honor and glory. May this holy gospel be proclaimed in words and in deeds, by conduct and by manners. Glorious and loving Lord, Thou reveal the beauty of Thy holiness, the beauty of Thy teaching. Thou, O Heavenly Father, manifest the power of Thy Spirit, that the voice of truth may sound forth, and those that are dead in their trespasses and sins, just as we were, that they may hear and be risen into that new life in Christ. Thou, O Heavenly Father, exalt the name of the Savior, glorify Thy Holy Son, for He has glorified Thee. He has completed and finished the work that Thou hast given Him to do. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, watch over us and protect us. Lead us and teach us. Keep us from all evil. Fill our hearts with Thy Spirit. Make us dead to sin, to death, alive in Christ, and fruitful in good spiritual fruits. And above all, O Heavenly Father, teach us to worship Thee in unity of Christ's love, purity, and holiness, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and in Thee to find our greatest joy and peace. And so, Heavenly Father, prepare us Thou for that heavenly kingdom, that in joy and gladness we may worship Thee with all Thine redeemed ones and with the multitudes of the heavenly host, that we may, O Heavenly Father, praise Thee and magnify Thy holy name, as we may be joined to that great number that Thou hast redeemed throughout all ages, that we may see the faces of Thy great servants, Thy wonderful ministers, prophets, and apostles, that we may see the face of our father Abraham gleaming with the glory that is streaming from Thy holy face, that we all together, O Lord, may worship Thee and worship Thee forever and ever. Amen. With the help of our Lord, beloved, I desire that we continue our reading from the verse number 11. Read to the verse number 24. 11 through to the verse number 24 of this chapter 25, Genesis, the first book of the Holy Scripture. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lehi Roi. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations: the firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masa, Hadar, and Tema, Jeter, Naphish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. This far I desire to read in our second reading from this chapter 25 from Genesis, from the Bible. We see here that after the death of Sarah, Abraham's wife, Abraham lived together with his son Isaac, and Abraham remembered the promise of the Lord, and Abraham wanted to be faithful to the Lord's promises, so he ordered his eldest or chief servant to go back into the place where Abraham used to live before he came to the promised land, and to bring a wife to his son Isaac. As long as Isaac was not married, Abraham and Isaac, after the death of Sarah, lived together. Once Isaac was married, Abraham, now an old man, decided to get married to her. Did the dear memory of his wife Sarah slowly faded away? What happened in Abraham's wife, in Abraham's life in his old age? We are here given only the record, the information that he got married. I think, beloved, that this marriage of our father Abraham did not bring blessings that glorify the Lord. None of these children were the children of promise. These children were not Abraham's children in their the way they were raised. They were the children of Keturah. These children could not go along with the child of promise, Isaac. And Abraham did not want to have a separated household. He remained in the household of his son Isaac. Abraham was the head of that household, and yet the children that Keturah gave birth to were not his children. They were biologically, yes, he was the father, but they didn't have the faith of the father Abraham. Otherwise, there would not be any reason for Abraham to send Keturah's children far away. Why did Abraham get married again? I think that as we study the Word of God, as we follow the steps, the pilgrimage of our father Abraham, we can see the very special periods of time and very special situations in which or at what time Abraham is making mistakes. First, in the beginning, when they took Hagar and caused a lot of problems for both of them, Abraham and his wife Sarah. Second, when they were in the land of Egypt and he said that Sarah is his sister. And then later on in the land of the Philistines, again the same mistake was done, and that was premeditated, planned, not just incidental. We can see, beloved, a pattern or something that is a good warning for us. Number one, when we are traveling through new experiences that we are not familiar with, we should be extremely careful, prayerful, and walk in godly fear. Not to be light-minded. See, no one ever before Abraham had a promise from the Lord as Abraham had. No one was there to tell Abraham, I mean, another man or another faithful one believing in the Lord, to say to Abraham, don't follow the customs of the people around and don't take the slave girl Hagar to be thine concubine. God does not depend on the flesh. And God does not need help from the helpless. And that's what humans are. Helpless. God is able and willing to fulfill his promises. None of his promises will ever fail. Abraham believed God, and yet he tried to help the Lord. Not in the way the Lord asked Abraham to walk. So, all the apostles say that they are the helpers to the Lord, but only when they are doing what the Lord commanded. And that's amazing. That's wonderful. That's even so glorious that it would humble every sincere and faithful minister of Christ, that the Almighty God would take weak human beings to be his helpers. Yet, everyone should be careful never to teach God, never to go ahead of him, never to try to help God as if God needed our help. That was one thing. Another thing was in Abraham's situation. When, that is a lesson for us, when we see the multitudes of those that don't believe the Lord, many that are forsaking his ways, that we should not be afraid for our life. Now in those days, Abraham was afraid for his physical life, even though he had the promise of the Lord that his seed will be multiplied. Abraham feared that the people will kill him to take his wife Sarah from him. When we see today, beloved, how many there be that have the name and they don't have the word of God in their lives, in their mind, in their hearts, we should not be afraid for our spiritual life, because we don't depend on the multitude nor on a small number. We only depend on the help and the word of God. We see another thing, Lord, that once Abraham made that wrong, that mistake, saying only part of the truth, that Sarah is his sister, and not admitting to the truth that she is also his wife. Once he did that again. And that's another thing that we should be very careful not to do. If we made a mistake, if we sinned, and the Lord was gracious and loving to correct us and to show us the way, and we admit and we see and we make the correction, not to repeat that sin again, to keep ourselves unspotted, pure from the pollution of the world. Now, when Abraham was old, apparently he was lonely. He did not have someone who was close to him, someone who would share the burden of this life, someone who would be gentle and loving to him. And so an old man got married again. And I wonder if Abraham was very heavy, very sad, when he had to send away his son Ishmael and his concubine Hagar. How sad Abraham was when he one after another sent away all of his sons that Keturah had born to him. So this marriage apparently did not bring what was missing in Abraham's life. It did bring more difficulties and more problems. First, we should be kind and loving to those that are physically aging, but we also should be kind and loving to one another, that we be not lonely walking through the valley of this world, this shadow of death, but that we share the fellowship and the love of Christ, that loved his disciples, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ loved his disciples so much that he left the heavenly glory to be despised and rejected, to receive the cross and all the torture that the people could, in their hatred, in their evil hearts, prepare for one, the only one that ever walked through this valley, pure and holy, the Son of God. If he loved us so, if God loved us so, that he gave his only begotten Son, that none of those that believe should perish but have everlasting life, we also should love one another, that we could share among ourselves the love of Christ, and that we can sense his presence in our hearts and in our lives. Then we are not going to be lonely, and we are not going to be seeking other than pure and holy teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what happened to Abraham? He lived long years, as we read here in the verse number 7, and 103 score and 15, that's 175 years, and he died. And even if he lived as long as Methuselah, he would have died. Somewhere in the Proverbs, or maybe in Ecclesiastes, we can read something like this, that even if a man would live many, many years and enjoy himself and have the days and years of gladness and enjoyment and pleasure, when he thinks of the dark and sad and sorrowing days, the difficulties that will come sooner or later, all is vanity. Now, it is vanity. Even the joys and the excitements of this world are vanity. How much more sufferings and losses, disappointments, difficulties, sicknesses, and all evil things that the people do to one another in this world. And when we look at all of that, how worthless is that way of living without Christ. But when we live in the Lord and we walk in the light of his word, then, beloved, even
the sufferings and the difficulties have great value. We are having a fellowship and unity with the one that suffer more than anyone else, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Who were his people? Abraham was separated. He has forsaken his father's house. He has forsaken his family. He has left his country of the Chaldees. Who were his people? Well, our Lord and Savior said, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Israel and all the prophets, all those that sincerely, faithfully followed the commandments of the Lord, served the Lord, and died in the grace of God. We see furthermore, beloved, that after the death of Abraham, God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well of Lehi Roi. And these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And then we have the names of 12 princes of the Ishmaelites. Now, Ishmael is not the child of promise. He is not in the covenant of the Lord. He has outward signs of godliness. He is circumcised. But he is not in the covenant of the Lord. He does not have the true faith in his heart. And look how quickly he is multiplying. In a very short time, Ishmaelites became a people great in numbers. But then we see that God blessed Isaac. And what happened? For a long time, Isaac and Rebekah had no children. You see, the good blessings of God are not always, as a matter of fact, often are not outward, are not visible, are not physical, material. Follow, as we follow the way of living of Isaac and Rebekah, we can see in what way they were blessed by the Lord. In verse number 19, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Not 12 princes yet. Not many grandchildren. Only Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. See, that was the blessing. Isaac and Rebekah were godly people. Isaac, when he needed something, he entreated the Lord. He was a prayerful, godly man. That's the blessing above all blessings. What is the profit of having multitudes of children that are ungodly? The true blessing is that each one that is in the covenant of the Lord keep that covenant and serve the Lord. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, and because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. She followed the good example of her husband. Isaac entreated the Lord. Now Rebekah is doing the same. And she is seeking counsel from the Lord. And we see here that the Lord had a communication with Isaac and with Rebekah. A very interesting thing to consider and to observe, that Abraham, when he sent his, Abraham's servant, to bring a wife to Abraham's son Isaac, Abraham made sure that Isaac is not going back to the country from which Abraham has exited and came to the promised land. But Abraham asked the servant to bring Rebekah, at that time not mentioned by name, but to bring a girl to be the wife to Isaac from that country to the land of the promise. So Rebekah traveled the same pilgrimage that Abraham traveled. And that signified that Abraham wanted Rebekah to be of the same faith, same path of life as Abraham's household, as Abraham, as Sarah, and their son Isaac. So, right from the beginning, before the children were yet born, there is a struggle among those that are the children of the believers. There will be, and there were, those that did believe and those that did not. The battle is going on, and it will never stop until that glorious victor, the one that will triumph over sin and death, will come and spell the end of sin and evil. The Lord explained to Rebekah, two nations are going to become from their children. The people shall be separated from one another. They will not cleave to one another. And one people shall be stronger than the other people, but the elder shall serve the younger. And when the time came, the word of God was fulfilled. So, from these verses, we can learn that we should seek always the purpose of living and the way of serving the Lord by the Word of God. That we should not allow ourselves to grow old in our spiritual living, in our spiritual experiences. That the Word of God should be always fresh and always new to us. And when is that so, beloved? When we are not enclosed in our own self, thinking, well, the Lord has forgiven me, my name is in the book of life, and now I will bury my talent in the land and just keep it until the Lord comes back. No, that's not the commandment of God. The apostles found that the word of God is every day fresh and new. Why? Because they worked with the word of God. So that should be our prayer. That should be our striving, our continual endeavor to serve the Lord, to seek His guidance in serving the Lord. We know that all, even the greatest, the best fountains in this world, on this earth, are only channels. The water that comes through the fountain is coming from another place. If you close the fountain, the water will not come. So is every believer. If we close our heart, we do not witness the word of God, we do not project the teaching of the Lord to the others, to the people around us, we are like a closed fountain. Very soon that fountain will be broken, fruitless, dry, worthless. Those that allow the word of God to flow through them and to affect, to influence the other people, they find that the Word of God is always new, always fresh, always wonderful. May the Lord bless His Word and make it always new, strong, as a treasure of wisdom, as a source of the great spiritual values that we are to share with the others. So if we would be walking not in the weakness of our father Abraham, but in the steps of his faith, as our Lord and Savior said to the Jews, "Abraham, your father, desired to see my day, and he did see, and he rejoiced in it." That we also may be looking forward toward that day when our Lord and Savior will appear again. That there be nothing in our heart, nothing in our life, between the Lord and us. That we be free, pure and holy, longing to see the one that did so much for us, to worship Him.